Welcome to For His Glory with Joel
and Danielle Young.
Thank you for joining us. For His Glory is a ministry dedicated to helping bring you the deeper things of God through Hebrew eyes. So we're going to expound on them and go through various levels and draw you into the deeper things of God, in which you'll be able to see the length and a breadth and a height and a depth and behold the glory of God. It'll increase the depth of your worship and praise and help you be real Talmidim, disciples, who really means learners. So come and learn, come and see. Thank you. Today we're going to look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 1. Verses 46 to 51. John chapter 1, 46 to 51. And then let's read that together and first see what the Bible says for itself. Starting at 46, "And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Yeshua," that's Jesus in Hebrew, "Yeshua saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered him, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Now, let's look at this carefully. Many people have commented on this fig tree. Does that make any sense to you, Danielle?
No, I don't understand seeing him under a fig tree. What did that tell him?
Okay, good question. Now let's look at this here.
Why a fig tree, things like that.
Okay, let's go over it and see what it rises up to in your mind, what thoughts come to bear. Now let's go back to it. Nathanael, in verse 46, is talking to Philip, and Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." That's the invitation. Jesus sees Nathanael, verse 47 in John 1, Jesus sees Nathanael coming to him and said of him. So Jesus is commenting on Nathanael and said, "Behold." In Hebrew, that's hine. It means pay attention, look, behold. "An Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile." Okay? Now, that should arrest our attention right at the very beginning, because in 1 Peter, we have a statement about Jesus Christ himself on that same note, meaning using the same term. In 1 Peter 2:22, talking about Yeshua, Jesus himself, it said, "Who committed no sin, nor is any deceit or guile found in his mouth." Okay? That is a profound point, because here we have an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. There's no deceit in him. Now, wait a minute. Many a verse in Scripture point out clearly that everyone has sinned that comes short of the glory of God. No one is sinless. The only sinless one that ever lived here, the perfect one, is God in the flesh, right? Now, this is not a comment by just anybody. This is a comment by Jesus Christ himself. God is giving you his view. And God's looking at Nathanael and saying, "Behold, pay attention, look, here's an Israelite in whom is no guile. There's no deceit in him." Now, that has to arrest your attention if we're at all sensitive to the Bible. The sinless one is talking about another person here, an Israelite, but Isaiah talks about, and I use the "but" loosely here, in the sense that Isaiah in Isaiah 6 talks about, "Oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." So, all the sin that comes short of the glory of God, we're starting to get the picture. Look at it carefully, people. You see that many verses come to bear here talking about that all have sinned. Sin, sin, sin. But here is Jesus Christ himself. Nathanael is coming to him and he speaks of him. He's talking about Nathanael. And this is Jesus Christ himself. perfect knowledge, perfect one, perfect everything. Yes, Danielle.
Is this a statement of in prophecy? Is this a prophetic statement?
Well, we'll come and see that in a moment. What does it say first? I mean, first we have to understand that it says, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Now, obviously, everyone around, we find out all have sinned. Well, is he not one of the all? So this is mm-hmm. what I call a point of tension. There's some missing piece. There's some factor that we're missing without which we cannot reconcile these texts. Now, in John 10:35, it says Scripture cannot be broken, right?
Right.
Jesus Christ himself again is talking. So you bring up an interesting point. Let's do what Jesus says. Come and see.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Good question. Jesus says, behold an Israelite indeed. It's another exclamatory statement too. Behold and indeed, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. In him there is no guile, deceit in this man. Many times we might just read the Bible superficially or even looking, but we're not asking the right questions always. We have to ask and you shall
receive.
Exactly. But if we don't ask,
we don't receive.
That can happen. All right. Often it does, unfortunately. So God wants us to open our hearts and our mouths and speak. He wants conversation. He wants us to ask. So we ask the Lord, Lord, what is this? I don't understand this yet. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Guide us into all the truth as you've promised. Behold an Israelite indeed, and in whom is no guile. Now keep that as a question on a board, all right? Mm-hmm. Next, let's see what else it says. What is God showing us? Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Now that's an interesting thing. So how do you know me? The Lord gave him a comment about himself. And he wants to know, how do you know me? He didn't say, that's wrong, did mm-hmm. he? He didn't say, no, I sinned last week on Thursday night at 9 p.m. in my mind, you know, or Sunday morning when I yelled it, you know. He said, how do you know me? Yeshua answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, keep that in mind. Before a man called you, when you were sitting, and everybody put yourself with this person, Nathanael, let's relate to Nathanael. Jesus is speaking, let's enter the world of the Bible and understand it, not from afar, but close. Before Philip called you, and Jesus is talking to Nathanael, okay, Nathanael, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I called you. Now, that was just spoken. Let's say you're Nathanael for a moment. Right. All right, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Now, your response is nothing short of amazing to me. Your response, the Lord saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael answered him, and I want you to think these words, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, there's three things that are said there. Rabbi, which also means teacher. You are. Not will be. You are. Not were. You are eternally. You are the Son of God. Right? Second.
Right.
What's the third? You are the King. Good. Of Israel. Now, that should raise a question in your mind. Jesus just tells him a moment before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. You respond by saying, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. How on earth do you come to that conclusion, people, before? I mean, just by Jesus saying to you, I saw you under the fig tree. That would be, for some, they might think it's a spirit of discernment, being aware of where he is. We see many great prophetic statements in the section of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible and throughout the Bible itself. Why? When the Lord says, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And your response to that? that you were seen sitting under the fig tree is suddenly, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. How do you get from one to that infinite conclusion? And I want you also to look at the time, because in any study, you should always ask the six inductive study method questions. Five W's and an H. What are they? Who, what, when, where, why, and the how. Who's speaking? What's going on? Where is this occurring? When is it? Ask this question. How did this come to be? Ask God. Ask Him to help you understand what's going on. Inductive study is very important. Now, when is important? The apostles are being called. They're not all called yet. Now, many of you, if you're not familiar, but you should prayerfully be with me in just a moment. In Matthew 16, you're familiar with Peter's great confession. In 16:16, easy to remember, Matthew 16:16, where it says, "And Simon," I would go back to verse 15, and the context of that is what? They're all saying, the people in town said to Jesus, the people are saying, you're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets, or you're John the Baptist coming back from the dead. And Jesus doesn't want to hear everybody else's opinions from his own. He says, but who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, in verse 16, Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, that's the Messiah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wait a minute. That is into the ministry for some length of time already. You're in Matthew 16. We're in John 1. What are the two titles, Danielle, that is brought up here? In Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ. Right? Good. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living
God.
Exactly. You're the Christ and you're the Son of the living God. Both titles. Now, put those two. You people, you should always have a piece of paper and pen and your Bible ready when we're talking. And this is what you got to get the meat. We got to get everybody up to speed. So let's do this all together, okay? It's not hard. Let's take our time and do it carefully together, all right? For God's glory, you're good, and a great testimony to others. So come and see. It's a wonderful study. Now, in John chapter 1, again, so we're going back and forth from Matthew 16 to John 1. In John 1, all the other apostles have not even been called yet. Jesus tells Nathanael in verse number 47, John chapter 1, 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Remember, Nathanael's coming to him. Jesus is the object of his direction and approach. Jesus sees Nathanael coming to him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, speaking of the man, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, now here's the response, how do you know me? Yeshua answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Three titles. What are the three? Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Perfect, you're the King of
Israel.
Good. Wait a minute. Some of that sounds familiar. What were the two titles that Peter said? You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Oh, wait a minute. One says Christ, and they both say you are the Son of God, the living God, the Son of God. Those are synonymous. The Son of the living God and the Son of God are synonymous. Peter calls him the Mashiach, the Anointed One. Here Nathanael says, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Now Peter, back to Matthew 16, what is Jesus' response to Peter's confession when Peter says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah, thou art the Mashiach, thou art HaMashiach, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, and Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. That was a great revelation that God the Father had given to Peter. But before, say before.
Before.
Before Peter got this, Nathaniel had his revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And we rarely, if ever, hear about that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Nathaniel, now, Jesus tells him, you heard from God the Father. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. So the question I have for all of us is this. How do we get from the fact that Nathaniel, in whom Jesus says, behold, pay attention, here's an Israelite, indeed, two exclamations in the same sentence, behold and indeed, behold, here's an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. And Jesus tells, and Nathaniel says, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before Philip called you, before man called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And Nathaniel mm-hmm. says, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. How does he come to his confession? All the apostles are not even called yet. Peter has not yet made his great confession yet, which is a revelation from heaven from God the Father. How does Nathaniel get this? Because the only clue you have here are twofold. One, Jesus said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, right? So put that on the board, on your paper. Behold, indeed, there's an Israelite, there's no guile. And he gives three confessions about him, right? What are the three again? Rabbi, you're the Son of
God.
Right? You're the Son of God. You're the King of
Israel.
Now, how does he come to that? He comes to that the Lord tells him two things. One, he's an Israelite and there's no guile in him, and mm-hmm. he's seen under the fig tree. Put that on one side of the paper.
Right.
Okay? So let me say it better. One, you have an Israelite, there's no guile in him. Jesus is exclaiming about him. Behold, I want you to see this one. He was an Israelite. Indeed, in him is no guile. He's holding him up as an example. And then he says, I saw him under the fig tree. So that's what Jesus says about him, right? Put that on one half the paper. On the other half, put Nathaniel. Got three responses here, right? His responses to Jesus is, are what? Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. How do you get to that? Well, the answer is very clear. You have to think like a Jew. You have to see it through Jewish eyes, through Hebrew eyes, and enter the world of the Lord. So come and see. You, as a Jew, would have already memorized the whole Bible. You were a concordance. You knew all the verses. And if somebody mentioned a word, the Lord would mention a word or phrase. Instantly would spring to your mind all of the verses in harmony. You would understand when he would lift a phrase or a word, there'd be a kaleidoscope of information in your mind instantly. And a word or phrase lifted from the text would draw all the rest, like a pulling on a thread of a shirt, and you'd pull a whole garment with it, and you would know exactly what he was saying. So these things would not pass us by. When the Lord told him, I saw you sitting under the fig tree, you're not going to get from someone saying, is it a literal fig tree, that you're going to get someone to turn around and say, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. How do you get such a divine revelation? Where Peter's revelation, using one of the same titles, is said that it's not flesh and blood, but it's a revelation from God the Father. Well, I'll give you three references to look up, all right? And you're to look up 1 Kings 4:25. Again, 1 Kings 4:25, Micah 4:1-5, Zechariah 3:1-10, and I'm going to look at one of them with you. And if you look at them more carefully, you'll find that the context, Danielle, is exactly what you were talking about before. You pegged it right on the head. What you were talking about is prophecy. Obviously, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we look at these texts carefully, we find that it talks about a time where this fig tree is spoken about, and I'll give you one, it's in the future, it's prophetic. The Lord is speaking throughout time. And listen carefully to Micah 4, and I'll give you those verses for context. Chapter 4:1-5. And it will come about in the last days, the Acharit Yamim, in the last days, the latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and render decisions from mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Verse 4, listen carefully. And each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of the armies has spoken. Verse 5, though all the peoples walk, each in the name of his God, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now, what did verse 4 say? Be sensitive to that. And each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid. What is the time frame? Remember your 6 questions? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? When? This is the last days. These are the future days. This is the messianic age, people. This is the time when the Lord has come back to rule and to reign over his people. This time frame, we are in a new body. The church is in a resurrected condition. There's no more sin.
What is messianic age?
The messianic age, good question, is the reign of Christ, the Messiah, when ruling and reigning on earth after the rapture, when he returns to earth and rules and reigns, establishing his worldwide dominion, his kingdom in fullness that's already here, but will be more manifest across the entire world. The stone kingdom of Daniel 2 is the same. The kingdom of God will be from sea to sea across the whole world. So the Lord sees Nathanael through time. This is Jesus Christ, and he's seeing him in the future. And you look at the other text, it'll bring out more depth of the same. And back in John 1, Jesus says, behold, an Israelite. He is one of God's people, the redeemed ones. He's redeemed here. Say redeemed.
Redeemed.
Indeed, in whom is no guile, is saying, by saying that, I see you when you are without sin. That's not now, but I see you in the future. Then he said, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. Well, you knew all the verses I just quoted for you. You knew 1 Kings 4:25, Micah 4:1-5, Zechariah 3:1-10. So you knew this was the Acharit Yamim, these are the last days. You knew that the Lord is saying, I see you when you have no sin. I see you in the future. You're going to make it. You have no sin. You're going to be fine. You're going to be well. You're not going to be in that state anymore here, because all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. It ain't now. It's a future time. You're going to sit under your vine and fig tree with no one to be afraid. The Lord says, I see you in the future. His response is, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. He will be ruling and reigning on earth as King, or Yeshua, the Lord of the whole world, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, I want you to recognize something, believer and unbeliever, how God sees you. God sees you in your potential state, not only where you are now, but where you're supposed to be. He sees you in the future and speaks your future into your present in the now. He sees you how you're supposed to be. He sees you without guile, without sin. He sees you perfect. He sees you with him. How do you see yourself? You need to have God's view of you. We're so bound up in our problems and just all bound up with all different things. You need to start God thinking. I see you with me. I see you without sin. And I need to know that as I think about God, I get God's view of how I'm supposed to do this here. Then it's easy for me to respond to the Lord and say, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You're my teacher. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are my King. I am your servant. I see myself with you in the future. And then you are to walk out your present into the unfoldment of your future today. And as you do that, you begin to live your future step by step in its unfoldment through the present. That's how you take this revelation, put it into application for his glorification. Take it step by step until you approach the fullness of the truth that God has for you. And they all said, Amen.